and it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. Good morning, City Bakery. We are live in New York at City Bakery. It's unbelievable. If you're listening in New York, come down. There's literally 500,000 people here. It's amazing. I never thought the bakery could hold that much. Good morning, Mark Riley. How you doing?
Good morning, Mark Maron. Are we at the office?
Mark Riley, my friend. There's we're definitely out of the office. There was a moment there, though, we're in the kitchen. I'm like, I want to bake. I'm ready to bake.
They got some nice ovens. It's the chocolate wheel, man. We got to talk about the chocolate.
We got to look at Riley. He's like, yay, Candyland. They make their own hot chocolate here at City Bakery, so that might be worth coming down for. It's right here on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues.
Yeah.
It's one of the remaining independent coffee houses in New York where you can get overpriced coffee and croissants without paying a corporation. But very good. I'm making a joke. Look at the people that are working here. I'm like, great. Did he come here to make fun of us? Terrific. So if you want a podcast, you can go to morningsedition.com and podcast with us and join us that way later if you want. If you couldn't make it here today, check us out next Friday because we're going to be broadcasting live from New York's Strand Bookstore at the corner of Broadway and 12th Street from 6 to 9 a.m. We'll have playwright and actor Eric Bogosian and New York City mayoral candidate Chief Virginia Fields will be with us that day. Riley, how does it feel to be live, my friend?
Oh, this feels wonderful. At 6 o'clock in the morning, to see all these great people out here is wonderful.
I recognize some people. Later in the show, we're going to have Mike Doty from Soul Coffee. He's going to play some songs for us.
Yeah.
James Walcott will be here from Vanity Fair. Paula Frolick from New York Post to dish some gossip. It's going to be a big show.
Yeah.
I noticed some of our longtime bloggers are here. Good morning, Mayor. It's unbelievable. It's like old school. It's all home week. It's always weird making the adjustment from the studio to the live scene. How are you, sir? You all right, sir? You all right? Good, good. I want to shout out here to Omar in Westchester. He's a regular caller. You might have heard him on the air before. We want to wish him good luck. He's going to be running in the San Diego Marathon to raise money for the American Stroke Association. Come on, give it up for Omar.
Yeah.
Is he on the phone? Morning Sedition is pleased to be one of Omar's sponsors, and if you'd like to find out how to donate to the ASA or to sponsor one of the runners in this Sunday's race, go to www.strokeassociation.org. Man, you know, Riley, we usually wait for this stuff to come to us, and now it's all here.
It's right here, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I have that problem of diminishing buffet syndrome, where, like, all I'm doing is I'm sitting here looking at all these people, and I'm thinking, like, that's not going to run out before we get to eat it, is it?
It might not. I got mountains of stuff here.
I have a food problem, as some of you know. I got off the train in Union Square, and I went into Whole Foods for no reason. What kind of sad world is that where I got to go in? Like, I just passed, and I'm like, oh, look at all the pretty food. Well, I could be healthy if I lived here. So, Riley, let's talk. How many people are – let's talk about the stadium for 2 minutes.
Of you are down with the stadium? I want to hear.
West Side Stadium? Pro Stadium?
Pro Stadium? Anti-Stadium. Wow.
So why don't you tell me what happened yesterday around the stadium issue here? That there was a vote that they've cleared all the lawsuits, so there can be – they're going to go forward.
There can be a vote. There's a vote scheduled today at 2 o'clock. And the vote will be done by a very little-known organization called the PACB. That's called the Public Authorities Control Board. It is controlled by Speaker Sheldon Silver, the New York State Assembly, State Senator Joe Bruno, who's the Senate Majority Leader, and the governor. The three people on that board have to vote unanimously for the stadium proposal to go forward. But now, for me, Mark, here's the issue. Maybe people here can think about this, because I know you all work hard for your money. The New York Jets have a waiting list for season tickets.
Yeah.
That waiting list is 10 years long. 10 years long.
So that's got to be billions of dollars.
Well, in order to be on the waiting list for that 10-year period, you must pay $50 a year.
Right.
Now, ask somebody that makes $50,000 a year to feed a family of four in a city like this whether they really think it makes sense to give $300 million of your money to people who get $50 a pop for thousands of people on a waiting list.
Right.
Does that make any sense to anyone here?
No.
Just asking.
Well, to bring this on to a national level, the reason this has become big news around the planet is that this is New York and America's one city bid for the Olympics. That if the Olympics are going to happen in the United States, they're going to happen in New York, and that's the way they're selling this stadium. And this is why the Bush administration is getting behind it, yet the Bush administration in the same day says they're not going to give us the money that the city needs to pay off the firefighters and the emergency workers that were working in 9/11 down on the site of Ground Zero.
That's right, the people that Bush posed with. But let me burst a few bubbles here.
Mm-hmm.
New York will not. Remember, you heard it here first.
Did we?
Will not get the Olympics.
Ever.
All right? No, not. I mean, not in 2012. It's not going to happen.
But these guys are like, no, we don't want them, you know.
No,
like,
no, look.
All those people are going to come from all around the world and annoy us. Bother us on our little island here.
It would be lovely if they came, but understand something very clearly.
Okay.
There are five cities competing for the Olympics. They are Paris, London, New York, Madrid, Moscow.
Yeah.
Paris already has the infrastructure to get the games. They got a stadium. They don't have to get anything approved by anybody.
Uh-huh.
So why would the Olympic Committee go with a speculative venture like New York?
When they've got Paris. I'd go to Paris to the Olympics. I'd rather go to Paris, I think. Wouldn't you? No?
Vive la France. Yeah. I don't know.
There's still some people that are a little French resistant. I don't know. Let's just say one guy waving. Yes, I'm French resistant. The French annoy me. We should have a...
And he's leaving on top of that. We must have
offended. That's it. I'm done with this show. I had no idea there were French sympathizers. I'm leaving.
No,
I'm
I'm just trying to let people know that this is the political lay of the land. They waited too long to get this done. And therefore, if it's going to get done, it's not going to get done for the Olympics. It's going to get done for the New York Jets.
Yeah.
And as far as I think a lot of people are concerned, and look, I'd love to see the Jets come to New York. I'd love to see them come to Queens, though, not on the west side of Manhattan. But bottom line here.
Wait a minute. I live in Queens. Hold on.
All right, so they can go by Marino's.
What? You can go by the fish place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
I know what you're gunning for free fish, too, now, aren't you, Riley?
Yeah.
That's the deal, yeah. So now you're pitching Marino's out in the story to get your own free fish.
Well, I own free fish. But look.
Yeah.
Let's be logical about this.
Yeah.
You would have to turn 34th Street into a one-way street to get all of that vehicular traffic to and from that stadium.
But think about the county parade once or twice a month.
Congratulations.
How
you
exciting
want to pay
would that be?
Mil for that?
Yeah, why not?
Well, you got it?
But I thought that
give
there was
some
a,
money
but wasn't there some private investors that are involved in this now? Wasn't the big deal that somebody's rallying to get private investment money that's not going to take any state money?
That is Joe Bruno's position. Joe Bruno, who
State Senator Joe
State Senator Joe Bruno, the Senate Majority Leader. Nobody quite knows what he wants. Everybody knows what Sheldon Silver wants. And because
I don't even know who Sheldon Silver is.
He's the Speaker of the Assembly, and he's one of the people that can stop the stadium in its tracks.
Okay.
And he wants some tax breaks for Ground Zero, similar to the tax breaks that they have on the far west side. That's what he wants.
All right. All right. Well, when we come back, Riley, we're going to do your dog of the week. We got iNews 5000. We got Mike Doty coming up. We're at City Bakery here in New York, 18th Street between 5th and 6th. It's a party, so come down and get all jacked up on coffee and butter.
Yeah.
Talk to you in a second here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition.
Just wake up.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
243-1483. That's 1-800-243-1483. Call Stop Sign right now. 1-800-243-1483.
Nineteen after the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
With a lot of other people. We're here at City Bakery in New York City on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues.
Yeah.
If you're walking around or driving around, come on by. You're listening to Air America Radio. Unbelievable. So many people here. Literally 700,000 people here now. It's unreal. They've
had to
call the police. I see it on TV shows too. When it all takes is some guy to just lift his arms up and people will clap. The power of that, Riley.
Yeah,
the power of that. You can't just go out and do it in public; it won't happen. But in a audience situation, it will happen. So right now, as we promised you. Sometimes when you read the headlines, it's really difficult to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So luckily,
We have an iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. It's right here, right, guys? Yeah, you see, you see the machine. And we promise a live intro from Brendan P.W. McDonald. So let's feed it some headlines.
Nice.
Okay. From Reuters, ultra-Orthodox Jews turn to movie making. Translation, Jewish takeover of Hollywood now complete. From Fox News, North Korea calls Cheney a bloodthirsty beast. Translation, officials suspect North Korea has well-placed spies in U.S. government. From the Associated Press, rare nickel sells for $4 million. Translation, change is good. Nothing? Change is good. Go!
Nice. Nice work.
Do you know the story behind that sound effect? We were putting together the iNews bit, and we had chosen some sound for it. And Brendan walks into the studio. I mean, he's a pretty mild-mannered guy, Brendan, by and large, you know. And he walks in and goes, no, it has to be more like, ba 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 ba. And I'm like, you're doing it. It has to be. There's no other way but that. There's no music that's ever going to match that. So you know what time it is now? Time for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Mark, we don't normally like to stigmatize organizations that say they serve children, much less help to create them. Yet we've seen one group lately that's risen to prominence on the back of the stem cell debate. Putting it bluntly, these people give me the creeps. They're called the Nightlife Christian Adoption Agency. You may know them through the program they run called Snowflakes. It arranges for women to get pregnant with embryos left over at fertility clinics. It was about 20 of these snowflake babies who served as props for President Bush at a recent photo op. Their parents should be prosecuted for child abuse. These folks believe an embryo is a life, and therefore using embryos for stem cell research is wrong. They're entitled to that belief as Americans. It's their desire to back their beliefs with the force of government that's so scary. 30 years ago, folks with this same mindset opposed in vitro fertilization. Now they use the same advance to further a conservative Christian political agenda that opposes federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. Still unanswered is how Snowflakes reconciles using up to a dozen embryos to produce a single child with their stated position against embryo destruction. Talk about hypocrisy. This stem cell controversy makes my head hurt. So does the Nightlife Christian Adoption Agency and their Snowflakes program. That's why they're the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week.
Yay! Mark Riley's Dog of the Week. Were people growling out there?
Yes, they were.
Do you do that in your cars when you listen to it at home? You go,
yeah, don't scare the kids, though.
Huh? Oh, man. So, look, let's talk a little bit about Amnesty defending what's going on. Who's laughing out of context?
Uh-oh.
Look at Larson's pulling security. Clutch Larson on security over here.
Yeah.
That's threatening.
A weird yellow package.
Oh, no, don't say that. You know what, Dad? I'm sitting in bed last night, and the only thing I'm thinking about, I'm very excited to do the show this morning, but the only fantasy I actually had in my head, the only active prophecy that I could have for the morning was the suspicious-looking loner who comes up and goes, you know, hey, how are you? You know, I mean, the only thing I could think of was, like, what if someone walks in with a gun and stands up? But you know what? Oddly, because usually I'm a coward even in my fantasies, but in that one, literally, I leapt over this counter and grabbed the gun, threw him over that counter, and dumped hot coffee on his. It was beautiful. And I was a hero. The show ended, but we all went out for breakfast afterwards. It was good. I'm sad to say that's a true story. So, Riley, the story of Amnesty International defending the word gulag, as they should, against the...
No doubt.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, yeah, just pipe in and interrupt.
There you go.
Yeah, no. absolutely they should, and I think that the administration and Rumsfeld and everybody else is coming out against Amnesty International, though in the past they have used them if the information was proper,
Well, if the information suited
their agenda.
Yeah. When it came to Saddam Hussein, who you last saw standing on the front page of the New York Post in his underwear, when it came to demonizing Saddam, Donald Rumsfeld and George W. Bush were all too willing to use Amnesty International's own report on human rights abuses inside Iraq. That they had no problem with. But when they called Guantanamo a gulag, suddenly there's some pariah organization.
Well, yeah, the quotes from Rumsfeld were, quote, "We know that it's a repressive regime. Anyone who has read Amnesty International or any of the human rights organizations about how the regime of Saddam Hussein treats his people knows it." That's from Rumsfeld, you know, just a few years ago, 2003. Quote, "If you read the various human rights groups and Amnesty International's description of what they know has gone on, it's not a happy picture." That's April 1st, 2003. Now, apparently, they've set their standards of torture are a little too, you know, they're not to the liking of this administration.
No, and see, the interesting thing is Amnesty says, well, if you're not a gulag, let's let some independent observers go in and see what actually is going on at Guantanamo. Not those congressional delegations that they sweep everything up for.
So now they're making Guantanamo into a bed and breakfast just to entertain the Amnesty International. They're putting clean towels out, maybe some smelly soaps, just so the Amnesty people can be comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. And see, there are now about 520 people that are installed in that particular gulag, and we don't know, A, how long most of them are going to end up being there, and B, how guilty any of them are. Yeah, there are probably some guilty people there, but do you trust this government, do you trust this administration to have done the difficult work necessary to establish whether they are innocent or guilty? And if they're guilty, bring them to justice.
And there were some people sort of, you know, picking, you know, getting picky about the definition of gulag. There are actually some people saying,
geez.
Well, gulag, there was work being done. And they're not really producing anything at Guantanamo, so it's not really a gulag.
Are they splitting hairs that way, are they?
Well, it's ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous, because the American government is never going to admit to widespread torture. The American government is never, and this is something that has been throughout American history, they don't admit when they're wrong, least of all these people, not this administration.
Well, we're going to be back. We're going to have the Dream Diary. We're going to have all these lovely people here at City Bakery in New York City, 18th Street, between 5th and 6th Avenues. If you want to come down and have coffee, we have coffee, we have keychains, we have me and Mark. It's Air America Radio.
Morning Tradition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Connison, the very embodiment of intelligent design, will join us for what promises to be a truly enlightening Franken.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
34 past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
It's Morning Tradition. We're here at broadcasting live from City Bakery in Manhattan on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. Come on down, see us if you're in the New York area. They're great. There is now close to a million people here. We've had to open up and lease a building across the street for the flow over. If you couldn't make it here today, check us out next Friday when we'll be broadcasting live from New York Strand Bookstore at the corner of Broadway and 12th Street from 6 to 9 a.m. We'll have playwright and actor Eric Bogosian and New York City mayoral candidate C. Virginia Fields. Today, later in the show, we've got Mike Doty coming up. We've got Johnny K Street coming up. But right now, Johnny K Street fans... Right now, I got to do this. My therapist told me to write down my dreams. Here's my dream from last night. So I'm here at City Bakery doing the show, and I'm getting into it, and everything is going well. When my dead cat Butch comes in the door, followed by her cat Army, Butch says, "Stop this broadcast, Mark Maron. I have decided to take pity on you and rescind your program with its hopeless banality and its sterile intellectualization." I say, "No way, Butch, this is my show." She puts a razor-sharp claw under my chin. "Give me the mic, Mark Maron, before you hurt someone. Please, I don't want to mess up your freshly shaved face." So I give Butch the mic. She says, "Good morning, philosopher kings and queens, working-class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Mark Maron would never tell you this because of his pseudo-bohemian beatnik socialist dogma. But I will tell you a secret. The only thing talk radio is good for is a background noise for a morning filled with sweaty, filthy, forbidden sex. And I'm thinking, oh, God, Butch, no, please. Doug Krieger, my boss, is part owner of this place. Then Butch says, that is why I and my associates have loaded your croissants with bois bande and ecstasy. They are particularly sweet, yes? Somewhere a cat turns on an R. Kelly CD. The lights dim. Butch lights a cigarette. Relax, everyone. It is time to butter your muffin, cream your coffee, jelly your donut. Let's get naked and have some real morning drive time, kiddies. We're in Chelsea. It shouldn't take much encouragement. Pretty soon, City Bakery is filled with cats yowling and humping and a few people, too. Just then, Doug Krieger comes up to Butch and says, oh, my. Hey, we got a good crowd here. I don't want to be a pain or anything, but I think this is a code violation. You and your friends are going to have to leave. Butch puts an arm around Krieger and says, Doug, my friend, relax. Here, have a croissant. I made them especially for you. You know, you're a very attractive man. I woke up and my bed was filled with sticky buns.
Ooh, hey, what is this? I thought this was progressive radio.
Yeah, right.
Sticky buns. What is that?
Wow.
What could that possibly mean?
Throwback to the 70s.
So let's get a little more into this. I want to understand, Riley. I want to understand how the Bush administration, because of his new budget this year, can take part of the $125 million that was allotted this city,
yes,
to pay for the damage that was done to the emergency workers at Ground Zero's lungs and that continued. I mean, I remember being here. That smell, you knew at the time, had to be, you know, horrendously toxic and damaging.
Well, not only was the smell horrendously toxic and damaging, Mark, but the treatment of those responders was damaging.
Yeah.
Remember that the Environmental Protection Agency, a federal agency, told people in the wake of September 11th, don't worry about the air quality. There's no real problem with the air quality down there. So people went down. People were working incredible hours. I mean, there were guys I knew and still know, as a matter of fact, who worked down there at Ground Zero literally for 18, 20 hours a day for weeks on end.
But what I want to know is how can they take the money back? If they've allotted us a certain amount of money to take care of this, which is going to be a long-term problem over many years,
yeah.
I mean, these guys are going to have problems, these men and women are going to have problems with their lungs that they are maybe unforeseeable. Now, how can the federal government take back money that was allotted to us, and also the neocon death cult paying lip service to how much it, you know, appreciates New York and what happened here? How can they just go ahead and take back $100 million from that?
Well, that you can do that pretty easily if, you know, your attention span in terms of actually having a concern for the firefighters and the cops that responded to September 11th didn't go beyond the year 2001. Bush doesn't care about those people anymore. They've gotten reelected, and what the Congress giveth, the Congress can take away. And in many government agencies, most folks don't know this, in many, many government agencies, if you do not spend the money by the end of a particular fiscal year, they will take it back from you.
Especially if that money's spent on helping people and not dumping into corporations that can get political favors later.
Yeah, and I don't understand. I mean, there have been a pretty good number of claims that have come out of September 11th. Apparently some 10,000 claims have been made, but we don't know how many of them were upheld. And we know that most of the money has not yet been allocated. Now, does that mean that there are a lot of claims that are still in the pipeline? The government can't even tell us how many claims have been denied.
But what happens with this money? I mean, is this the kind of thing where Bush is basically saying, look, I thought you wanted a stadium. What's he doing with the money? Where does it go? How does he justify it?
It goes back into the general fund. And it's really, it's the administration, but it's also the Congress. It's the Congress that gave up the $20 billion to New York in the first place. And, of course, with the support of the president, this is some of that money. And we don't yet know how many claims will be coming 5 years from now, 10 years from now. We don't know whether people's kids are going to be grown, God forbid, hurt or deformed because of the amount of time that people spent at Ground Zero trying to help other people, trying to search for the dead, trying to do the hard work.
So there was $175 million allotted initially.
Yeah.
$40 million has been spent. And and that means that they can just, you know, take back this money. And is anybody fighting this, Riley?
At this point, yeah. There are some members of Congress, for example, Carolyn Maloney, who represents the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Yeah.
There have been some Congress people, in fact, who don't even represent New York City,
mm-hmm,
that have argued in favor of seeing to it that New York gets to keep this money. It is, for me, a no-brainer, and you're talking about a Republican Congress trying to take money away from a city governed by a Republican mayor in a state governed by a Republican governor. But what sense does that make?
Well, it's just the heinous tactics of this particular administration in paying lip service to one thing and completely lying, and then, you know, behind the public's back, you know, taking money back. And this is something that a lot of people wouldn't even realize if you were just out there in the world, that this is a president that said, we're going to do everything we can for the victims and the people that were part of this horrendous tragedy, yet behind their back, just sort of buried somewhere in the paper, to most people, they think that they're doing that, yet they want to take $125 million back.
Well, yeah, there is kind of sort of a give-back clause, but what do you expect from an administration that told everybody with a straight face, and most people bought it, let's be real about this, that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction that he was prepared to deliver to the United States, both of which turned out to be completely false.
Yeah, but people still believe it.
I know.
People still believe it.
They're nuts.
People still believe that, you know, I personally thought for years that Hal Holbrook was actually Deep Throat. I thought that it was all part of the big conspiracy, that the guy who played him in the movie was actually the guy that had the information. But there's still a lot of unsolved, like, the whole Deep Throat story is very interesting to me, the Mark Felt story, is that if that the guy has been hiding for 30 years, that's the identity of who he was involved in this, in the Watergate thing. I mean, how many other unsolved mysteries are there out there? I mean, there's, like, well, of course, JFK. Of course, there's the mystery of what's this weird spot on my arm, which I'm going to have to solve later today at the doctor. There's, of course, there's the mystery of, you know, I mean, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? You know what I'm saying? Who shot JFK? Is there any other mysteries anyone could think of that are unsolved that need to be solved? Anyone?
Valerie Plame. Who outed Valerie Plame?
Yeah. Yeah, we talked to Joe Wilson. There's still no, absolutely no evidence of anyone coming forth with that information.
No, that investigation, like many others, is continuing.
Yeah. So, you know, if we will come back, we're going to have Johnny K Street in just a few minutes. Cardinal Milfington is going to be here in a little while.
Uh-oh.
And if you want to come down to City Bakery, we're down here on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues in New York City. Stay with us. Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Charles Barkley. When I want to get caught up on the world event and I can't get in touch with Shaq, MJ, Larry, or Manute Bol, I turn to Mark Maron and Mark Riley. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
Your vision is too important. For your free video, call 1-800-774-1683. That's 1-800-774-1683.
Yes. Hey, what's going on? It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We're coming to you live from City Bakery here in New York on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues if you want to come down. Wow, Riley, I was drifting away. They said get on the air, and I wasn't even there. I wasn't on the air. That's an awkward feeling, isn't it?
No, man.
Come on,
right.
Dude.
You're all right.
We got Johnny K Street coming up in just a second. Yes!
There you go.
Johnny K Street fans.
For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we already talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Ted Turner says CNN focuses too much on perverts. Turner railed that CNN should cover international news and the environment and not be pervert of the day. Turner then retreated to his office, greased the pool raft with Crisco, and settled in for repeated viewings of Barbarella. Turner gave a speech saying CNN shouldn't cover so much perversion, but the speech didn't focus enough on Michael Jackson, so CNN didn't cover it. Amnesty International wants access for information of Guantanamo. Many have been held at Guantanamo without charge for more than 3 years and say that the suspense alone is torture.
Oh.
Why is it doing this? Why is it humming in my head? A fan claims comedian Gallagher hit him at a show. I'll bet it didn't happen. Gallagher hasn't connected with an audience in years. Okay. The alleged victim later said he wasn't sure if he was slapped or if sitting through an hour of Gallagher's act, it just felt that way. Hey, okay, good. Those worked out well. Yeah, okay, those are the Morning Sedition Cliff Notes for today. So let's go. Let's do it, man. There are lots of big stories in the... There are lots of big stories in the news this week, so it's time to get some bets down with our own Inside the Beltway odds maker, Johnny K Street.
Yes.
Johnny K Street. Where's the action, buddy? Where's the action, man?
New York Olympics action for you today, baby.
Okay, what do you got?
I know a lot of people don't want the Olympics here in New York, but I've been handicapping it. Forget it. It's coming, all right?
Really?
Who are we competing against? France? Come on. That's 1,000 to 1.
All right.
No one wants to be around French people that long except other French people. You know what I'm saying? I got a pretty good idea. The American Olympics gymnastic team doesn't want to compete in a stadium filled with smoke while they're getting booed. You know what I'm saying? Madrid, I don't know anything about Madrid, so forget it. That's 1,001. London, miserable weather, and I don't know about you, but the royal family gets on my nerves, Mark.
They get on my nerves, too,
King,
man.
Queen, Prince, Princess, what the hell is this? Cinderella? Come on.
Complicated.
English Olympics, 500 to 1. Forget it. Get serious. Moscow?
Yeah.
What, are you kidding me? Weren't people trying to escape from there for years? Come on, give me a break. If you show up at the Olympics in Moscow, you should get a gold medal just for showing up, all right?
Oh, wow.
That's 10,000 to 1. You take that, you hit it, I'll
take it. All right, I'm down for a grand on that. I'll take it. A grand on that.
That leaves New York City, the greatest city in the world, guaranteed. New York Olympics, baby.
Yeah? 100% guaranteed? You think so?
Guaranteed.
I'll take that. I'll put a grand on that, too, Johnny.
You down for a grand?
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny, put me down for a yard. This is the city that is so nice, they had to name it twice.
I love you. You're beautiful. All right. You know what I hate about New York? That's the only thing I can complain about is the subways. You know what I figured? I took the subway today. You know the big drawback with public transportation?
What's that?
They let the public on it. You know what I'm saying?
I got
out to the station, there's a guy with a human head in one hand and a Metro card in the other. Come on. The smell on there. How much is soap now? Is it up to $100 a bar? Give me a break.
Johnny, speaking of New York, what kind of action do you have on the number one New York party girl herself, Paris Hilton?
Oh, Paris Hilton. I love Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a friend of Paris.
Oh, know. Sure, yeah.
She's a sweet kid. Thumb is a post, but a sweet kid, you know? Now she's going to get married. 5,001 she does it. And if she does do it, 10,001 it lasts a year. Don't buy a Christmas card. That's all I'm saying, okay? She called me up. She called me up when she got engaged. She said, Johnny, I met the perfect guy. The minute I knew him, I knew he's the perfect guy for me. His name is Paris. Yeah. I just wanted to do someone for once whose name I could remember the next day. You know, it's... How do you argue with logic like that? You know, it's she's not as dumb as people think, believe me.
Wait, hey, Johnny, you got any Trump action? What's going on with that?
Oh, you can't talk about New York without talking about Donald Trump,
what do
you know?
Got? What do you got?
All right. 100 to 1, Trump unveils a new plan to replace the World Trade Center, 120-story statue of himself, all right? Believe me, he would marry someone named Donald if he had the chance.
Johnny, you got some Senator Hillary Clinton action?
Oh, man, Senator Hillary Clinton, I love her. I'm taking Hillary Clinton action right up till she takes the oath of office, baby. Yeah, Hillary is a landslide.
So you really think she's got a shot there, Johnny?
Sell everything you got. Put it down on Hillary Clinton. I'm telling you.
All right.
Forget about it. It's a lock. Like I told my brother, Johnny E. Street, we've had a dick in the White House long enough. You know what I'm saying? Janie!
All right, buddy. Johnny,
I gotta go to court.
You gotta go to court again?
All right, Johnny.
Johnny K Street.
The man himself.
The Beltway odds maker. Developing quite a following there, Johnny. He's got to go to court again. The guy's always in court there, Riley.
Well, you know, and it's early yet. Court doesn't open for another hour or so.
That's a good point.
Get to the front of the line. That's what
you go wait in line of court.
Yep.
Who's the guy out front? He's always here.
Yep.
So if you want a podcast, you can go to morningsedition.com. If you want to come down, we're broadcasting live on 18th Street here in Manhattan at the City Bakery. It's between 5th and 6th Avenues. It's going to be the show is going to continue getting better. I like to baffle people that had no idea. It's like, what is Air America? It's like, I'm just going to work. Look at that man being made a fool
there
of.
There you go.
Isn't that weird when the civilians come in and just like, why am I being mocked with a man at the microphone? I just got up. I had a disappointing evening with my loved one, and now I'm just trying to eat peacefully. No. Sorry. Get out! No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, buddy.
There
kidding.
He goes. No, no, please.
No, 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 please. Isn't that, that's like that, that is so the way I am. You know what I mean? Is that a liberal trait, or is that just that I'm psychologically in, you know, like wrong? Where I just I'm sort of like, get out. I'm sorry. I love you. Are we okay? Are you confused and drained? Perfectly. Welcome to my childhood. All right.
So what's listen, yeah. Marin.
What?
This hormone spray you talked about yesterday. Wait, you remember the hormone spray?
I do remember it. This is an actual thing where they've apparently they've isolated what the hormone in the person that makes people trust people.
Yeah.
Did you, what's that? What'd you say? I can't. Sorry. But they, imagine what that would be if they just piped it into any political, you know, a political speech. If you brought it on dates, if you know what I mean. What,
I'm telling
what
you.
What are you doing? Yeah, I know, Dan. Bashman's like, look, play the button. For the people that aren't sitting here.
Ah, that's it.
Hey, Riley, give me your money.
Here.
I got it.
Here.
That really works well. See, you tipped the whole bit. That's good, Dan. Dan Bashman, son of Lewis and Linda Bashman of New Jersey. Lewis Bashman is here.
Where?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Pashman's father, Lewis Bashman.
Yeah, I didn't see him.
What people really don't realize is the miracle of this situation is that Linda let him out by himself. How's it feel to be out by yourself? Is she out? Is she in the car? What's going
on? She's waiting. She's listening, though, Mark. Don't forget that.
I love that. I love that family. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's Lewis and Linda and there's Dan and then there's Howie, the brother no one talks about. Like any time Howie's name comes up, Dan's like, "Well, what about me? I know Bruce Springsteen's 18 records. I'm Dan Bashman."
Man, you're gonna make Howie sound like unusual or something.
What'd you say?
You're gonna make him sound like there's something wrong with him.
There's nothing wrong with him. He's just been overrun by the Big Brother.
Uh-oh.
So yeah, the hormone spray that really worked out good. I'm glad we talked about that. That was tremendous. My wife talked to me like I was a cat today. That was very peculiar.
What?
I don't know if any of you talk to your loved ones across the country, but if in the middle of doing something else, it's kind of awkward. I'm just sitting there, and she must have been petting the cat. She's like, "Oh, there's a nice Mark. Look at Mark. Oh, how you doing, Mark?" I'm like, "Why are you talking to me like that?" She's like, "I'm sorry. I thought you were the cat."
Oh, my God.
So are we going to come? What have we got coming up? We've got Cardinal Milkington is going to be here.
Uh-oh.
Are there any Milkington fans? Great. We're going to have Mike Doty is going to come up and play some songs for us for like an hour. We've got, what's her name from the New York Post?
Going to make us famous.
What is her name? Paula Frolic is going to be here. Because I don't know. You know, we can't set ourselves on fire to get paid sick. So maybe we can do something today.
Do something here.
You think that
with
can
your
happen?
Help, audience.
Can we do something that'll get us on page six? Can you, yeah, why not?
Well, why not?
Maybe the guy will. Six past the hour. It's Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Hey.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We're broadcasting live from the City Bakery in Manhattan on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. Come on down. Listen to the people. Feel the love. If you didn't see me here, you can see me at Gotham Comedy Club tonight if you want to come down and watch me flounder through that. How you doing, Mark Riley?
I'm doing great. They're 1.2 million.
Has it gotten up that high?
It's gotten that high now.
Clutch Larson's out front with a click counter. It's up to 1 million. That's Clutch Larson, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Larson from the world famous Air America Radio's Morning Tradition. The guy who I made fun of shortly before. If you're just tuning in, I eviscerated some guy who walked in for no reason because when I'm in front of large groups of people, my vicious comic comes out. But he comes up and he's crying. And He says, I'm really a fan. And then I apologized, and he was like, yeah, okay, whatever. So I'm banking on him for the suspicious-looking loner with the gun. I don't know. You know what's sad about that is I was talking about that earlier, about my one fantasy I had about this morning was the fact that somebody might come and shoot me for no reason. I know it's a little dark, it's a little negative, but no less than six people came up to me on the break and said, dude, I'm right there. I had that same fantasy.
What, of shooting you?
Yeah, no, no, not shooting me. Of seeing me get shot, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or some sort of trouble. I also like being here because it's funny, you know, like two black guys come up during the break and they go, Mark Ryan, I love you, man. Thanks a lot. And they look at me and go, hey, how you doing?
You're doing well, good. Well, I know.
It's all right. It happens.
Hey, it happens.
And then the other guy comes up to me and says, I used to be a limo driver, and I drove you in 1993 to Long Island. Two problems with that. I have no idea what that means or where I was going. And when you have a history like me, you know, you have that moment where you're like, oh, man, did I do something? What happened in the car? Did something bad happen? Was there drugs? Anybody hurt? But thank God, no. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, who are both here, I knew it. There was no way Lewis was going to get out of the house with Linda. I knew that. Linda's very mad at me. She came up and glared at me.
Did
very,
she?
Yeah, yes, it was a very specific type of something I responded from my childhood. It's called the Jewish mother glare.
Uh-oh.
Yes. I don't know if some of you may know it, where you know, no matter what you're doing, you immediately read it. It's like, oh, it's wrong. I'm wrong. There's bad. There's bad happening. It's me. So, Riley, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man.
Mike Doty's going to be in here in just a few minutes. We've got Paula Froelich from the New York Post. Very exciting. We're going to try and make page six. Now I'm freaked out.
Because
now I think there's some guy at home loading a gun going, they want page six. You know what I mean? I think that, like, you know, on some level, I put out some strange invitation. Oh, you know, let's not think about it. Let's have a nice time. You want to do it? Yeah, let's. You ready? All right, good. Let's have him. Let's make this happen.
Uh-oh.
The Bible's book of Revelation.
Uh-oh.
Portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Frog's Pit, Montana. Your grace.
Take heed, city Becky, and all ye oil-soaked gluttons of Babylon. Your days of greedily gnawing away at pretzel-shaped croissants are over. Lift those crumb-laden hands to heaven, ye lumpen harlots. For your hearts have become Tupperware for Satan's leftovers. And your minds hollowed out coconut macaroons of filth. Look up from your half-eaten bowl of lust, hedonizers. Wipe the sin off, bazaar halal off your face and rinse your mouth out with frothy cup full of Jesus. But soon the day will come when the devil will lightly grease your bunt pan with hot pepper oil and caramelize your scrotum. Please note, caramelized scrotums may be out of season. Please consult our manager for more information. And thank you. Thank you for choosing the City Bakery for all your caramelized scrotum needs.
Oh,
get into the bakery! The rapture is upon us, you about trendy slackers in search of $12 salads. For according to my favorite news source, the internet, Australia is suffering from one of the worst droughts of the century. After four consecutive years of low rainfall, we may never again hear another joke about toilets flushing in the opposite direction. For it was prophesied in Revelation 12:24-16, hike! And I quote it. And a third angel will sound his trumpet, and a great star will blaze like a torch and dry the lakes. And speaking of stars, Nicole Kidman will marry and commit Congress with a crazy midget who won't stop talking about Scientology. Serves you right for ignoring my advances, Blondie. I don't care what your manager said. My letters were not scary. End quoted. Yes, Mark. During the tribulation, natural disasters like drought, disease, and the upcoming fourth Crocodile Dundee sequel will create the greatest period of suffering in all human history. This is the end time indicator of all end times. Now, excuse me if I jump up and down like a monkey while blathering incomprehensible nonsense syllables. Otasamutak, pitaka, taka,
in Kantika, Choctaw Ridge.
Pop quiz, Mark. Maccabees 12:14, Ephesians 8, Galatians 6. Which one was not written during the reign of Esarhaddon?
Galatians 6.
Trick question, sucker. There was no reign of Esarhaddon. Just like there's no rain in Australia. Long story short, your fate awaits you, heretic. It's up to you. Either spend an eternity being force-fed lime cream-filled scones while your ears ooze almond butter and lobsters pinch baby mustard grease off your privates. Or be raptured like me and sit at the throne of Jesus and his pet wombat, Peanut. Until then, fornicators, keep on fornicating, and we'll keep the light on for you in the city bakery. Get into the bake! Bakery!
All right. Thank you, Cardinal. Very uplifting, as always.
Yeah,
very
good. Yeah, you're welcome.
But a few penis references in that one.
Few what references?
Caramelized scrotum.
Caramelized scrotum, yeah.
That's good. Is that a bad thing or a good thing, caramelized scrotum? Is there...
Well, I like it. God forbid you should try something new.
I will. I'll get right on that, man. So what happens with the rest of the day?
I don't know. Maybe I'm going to try to get something free here. I had to pay for my orange juice.
I'm glad you wore the whole outfit. For people out there in the world listening, he's got his cardinal hat on, his long robes, the jeweled scepter. Is that what that's called, the scepter?
I'm glad you dressed up for this occasion.
What do you want from me, man?
Wearing your best monkey outfit.
Hey. I'm not wearing the head.
I'm wearing the what?
The head of the monkey outfit. I'm playing along for the people out there who aren't here. Come on, we're pretending. Can't you pretend, please?
No.
All right.
The Lord does not like pretending.
We're going to get emails.
Shut up, Riley. Hey.
Yeah, all right.
Don't pick on the brothers in here.
All right, so we're going to come back. We're actually going to be right here at City Baker if you want to come down. It's 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. Paula Froelich will be here from the New York Post.
Yeah.
So stay with us. Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Mark Maron's mom, and you're listening to my son and his friend Mark Riley. They're very good boys. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
800-357-1473. 800-357-1473. That's 800-357-1473.
After the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
Morning Sedition coming to you live from City Bakery here in Manhattan. Everyone is well caffeinated, mentally lubricated. We're all one big happy family here. No suspicious looking loners, no stalkers. Okay, actually maybe a couple of stalkers, but no dangerous stalkers that I've seen.
No.
Yeah, it's all been very good.
The metal detector works.
Uh-huh, yes. What metal detector? There's no security here. And also I heard Riley, that was very very cute, Riley. Riley's like off to the side, goes, can I get a hot chocolate?
I want they got the chocolate wheel over there.
You've been looking at that for like an hour now.
That's right.
Dreaming about hot chocolate.
Hey.
So, let me just shout out to Omar. We want to wish good luck to our friend Omar from Westchester. He's one of our most devoted listeners. Chances are you've heard him on the show before. And this Sunday, he's running in the San Diego Marathon to raise money for the American Stroke Association. Morning Sedition is pleased to be one of Omar's sponsors. And if you'd like to find out how to donate to the ASA or to sponsor one of the runners in this Sunday's race, go to www.strokeassociation.org. Now, in the studio here at the bakery...
Yeah.
This is like, I'm excited you're here. Have you ever wondered how to get your name in page six? Paula Froelich, a reporter for the New York Post famous gossip column, is here to tell us how. And right out of the gate, you took two shots at me. That felt good.
It wasn't really a shot. You're just a little sensitive.
Yeah, so you got to come up to me and go, I figured you were that Mark. Yeah, okay. I understand.
But you're waving. You're like, hey, I'm Mark. Yeah, I'm like, I figured. I mean, it would take kind of a ding-dong not to figure that one out.
Well, the other funny thing you said was that you asked which one is the Mark with a K, And I said him, and then he said, I have a dog named Mark with a K?
No, no, Carl with a K.
Okay.
It's a little bit more manly.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, manly. Okay. I know. So, okay, so what do I got to do? What do we got to do? I tell you, we've done bits on this show. We have, like, we've done Terry Schiavo bits. We've done heinously crass bits. No one ever writes anything about us. How do we make it into Page Six? What do I got to do?
Well, I was going to suggest, especially because I'm not fully awake right now, I think that you all should strip naked and walk down Broadway.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Now we're
probably the easiest way, although I'd like some blindfolds.
Okay.
Maren, go ahead. Well, I'll be right behind you.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not falling for that twice. All right. So that's all. We got to get naked. So what? Now, if when you come,
I'm just trying to get you into the male Paris Hilton act.
Yeah, I'm willing to do something. I don't know about walking naked down the street. Is there anything lesser than that I can do? Is there something? What's that? Broadcasting, just doing this.
She's got a point, you know.
So we're doing it. This should make it happen. But if a suspicious looking lawyer pulled a gun and I saved the day, that would get me in, right?
Oh my gosh, totally. But then again, you'd be on the front page instead of Page Six.
Yeah, right.
That's good too. That'd be good promotion. Yeah.
Self-immolation.
Sure.
That work?
I'm not going to do that, Riley.
Come on.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Take one for the team.
I'm sensing some tension between you two.
No.
There's actually never been tension. Ever.
Never.
Sure. It's weird. So you remember that guy came up to us the other day and he goes, "Do you hate each other yet?" There was a beat though. And both Mark and I looked at each other and went, No. But we did have to think about it for
and
a
then
second.
You popped your Valium, right?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. No Valiums anymore.
I'm drug free.
How do you find the stories for Page Six?
Oh, that's a shame.
No. Actually, we're both drug free.
Yes.
How do you think we could get up? You can't stay up all night too many times because your eyes get all red and it gets a little
Please,
weird.
Please, take a look at me. I got a face for radio this morning. Dying.
Yeah, you look good. So how do you come upon getting the stories?
You know what? Everyone and anyone calls in. I go out all the time. And really, you know, I mean, if you're going to dance naked on top of a table after drinking four bottles of vodka, you kind of want your name in Page Six, you know?
You want a little attention.
Totally. I mean, I think Tara Reid was once like, "Where do you write all this stuff?" You know, I mean, gosh, my mom is really upset. And I'm like, dude, I'm not the one who told you to, like, expose your boob and not feel it. That's cool. You did that all on your own.
Yeah. So what's the weirdest story that's come across the desk lately?
Oh, well, that one hasn't been legaled yet.
What do you mean?
Uh-oh.
Come on.
Hasn't been
Come dead. On. Give us a scoop of something.
Exactly.
Tell us something. No, you can't tell us anything.
Who is involved? I can't. I can't even say that because then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I know what it is.
That'd be fun, though.
I still can't get over the Tom Cruise wrestling Oprah, though. That's like my new move now. I want to go to parties and be like, I'm so excited. And wrestle him to the ground.
What
and
did
like
I miss?
Get on my knees and like a
we
know, Sir Lancelot pose.
Totally. How do I miss this stuff?
Let me get this straight.
What?
You guys don't know what I'm talking about?
Tom Cruise wrestled Oprah? We're busy changing the world here.
Oh my God.
That's right.
And the Democrats.
Talking about the issues.
Oh my God. And the Democrats wonder why they couldn't win the election. They gave a bad run because you got to know what's going on, even in these kind of things. You got to have pop culture references.
Kerry could have taken it if he'd only known that Tom Cruise wrestled Oprah.
Oh, please. Kerry could have taken it if he'd only gotten his message out. People weren't angry enough. Like, people voted against George Bush, but they also, like, in Ohio, where I'm from, they were like, we don't even know what he stands for because he didn't get his message out properly.
Well, there's still actually black people online to vote in Ohio. So there's several problems up there. What are you reading over there?
No, I'm trying to figure out because I've heard this urban myth for years that it actually costs money to get put on Page Six. True or false?
Oh, God, false, please.
Okay. But
come on. Do you know how many? We got, like, what was it? Manginas in Page Six all the time. He's got no money. Believe me. I smelled him the other day.
Uh-oh.
Mangina? Is that?
Are you no mangina either? What is wrong with you?
What am I missing? I gotta get up to speed.
Really.
He's a guy who walks around with a fake vagina over his privates and a uterus on his head.
Nice.
It's pretty hot.
Is it that guy, that writer? Is it that comic guy? Do you know who his name is?
No, he's friends with Jonathan Ames, but he's actually not.
He's not Jonathan,
Jonathan
Ames. He's an actual Jonathan Ames character. He's manifesting himself into Mangina.
He's a friend.
Okay.
Special friend.
So tell us about the book, the How to Be It.
It's It, 9 Secrets of the Rich and Famous that will take you to the top. I pretty much wrote it because I was like, you know what, if these ding-dongs can become, like, successful, anyone can do it. Mm-hmm. They can use it using the rules of fame. It's under the guise that celebrities and stars are made and not born.
So who've been the most clever in terms of designing their Page Six appearances? Who is, in your eyes, today, who's just, you know, a celebrity?
I mean, you got the ultimate media manipulator, Paris Hilton, who it's like, oh, my gosh, enough. Paris and Paris, the ultimate narcissism. I love it.
But she's inherently an untalented person, right? I mean, she really has no significance or social worth in any way.
Dude, Mark, you try freaking dancing on tables. Here.
Hey, when I was in my 20s.
You got to give the girl some credit for stamina.
I could have done it.
He did it for a decade. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I did.
I don't believe it. Show me some photos.
Uh-oh.
Who else did now? Who else are some of the other people that have been worthless in talent level that has made Page Six News?
It's not so worthless in talent because I think they do all have some sort of talent. But you look at somebody like a Jennifer Lopez, who can't really, you know, or some people would say she can't really sing or act or even dance.
I don't think she's good.
But yet
much.
At the same time, she's like got a great eyebrow wax or a great like Stairmaster. And everyone's like, oh, my God, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, you don't remember the Fly Girl days.
The Fly Girl days? How about the movies? They're bad.
Oh, please. Anaconda, I watch it every year with glitter.
So what's
I love it.
But it seems to me that, like, do you, and since you've been there, do you watch people sort of, like, arc and their sort of, you know, insignificant celebrity just dissipates and it becomes a sad scene?
Well, it's kind of, everything's kind of cyclical. But then, of course, you get, like, what I like to call the reality losers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all like, oh, my God, I'm Trista Rain. Please don't take me off TV. Please.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to be back. We're going to, you know, we've actually got a game plan to figure out what's real Page Six and what's fake Page Six. We're with Paula Froelich, and stay with us here at Air America Radio, City Bakery.
Morning Tradition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
And hear the rock and roll of Willie Nile. Remember, Liberal Arts, Sunday, June 5th, 1 p.m. here on Air America Radio.
Good morning, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio, coming to you live from the City Bakery here in Manhattan. That's on 18th Street between 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. Come on down, have a free cup of coffee, have some butter. The war against butter ends here. Plenty of butter. We're talking to Paula Froelich, who is the Page Six writer of the New York Post. Her new book is called It, 9 Secrets of the Rich and Famous That Will Take You to the Top. So, who's your favorite celebrity, Paula? Be honest.
I don't actually have one.
Oh, come on.
No. I'm serious. I don't. I have this rule that if you actually really love someone's work, it's probably best not to meet them.
But don't you have, like, one celebrity that you just rely on to completely screw up and
oh, my God,
themselves?
Well, that's like the Lindsay Lohan. It's, at this point, it's...
What's wrong with her?
I don't know.
Come on, what's going on with that?
My whole theory is right now, anyone who's Leslie Sloan Zelnick's clients right now are just fabulous.
I don't even know who that is, but I'll
play
along.
She's a PR woman who's got like Katie Holmes, Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears.
Why is Lindsay so thin? What's going on?
I don't know.
I mean, I have a weird guilty pleasure in mind. I'm slightly obsessed with
Lindsay
Lohan.
I'm not real sure.
Yeah, you think so?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you think so? All right.
It's a Hollywood diet that should make its way east, I'm sure.
All right. What can we do with Riley? How can we get him on Page Six?
Strip
Friday.
No stripping.
Yeah, all right.
I'm not used to people touching me.
Well, look, to honor our guest, but people have come up and touched Friday. Unfortunately, it's that time of the week again when we here at Morning's Edition take a moment at this time of sorrow to reflect in our morning remembrance.
As the people of the grieving nation come together to mourn, to remember, and finally to find hope, Morning Sedition joins with them to mourn, remember, and find hope as well. And so we bring you the stories of those who have lost their lives, those who inspire us to carry on. Here now is Morning Sedition grief correspondent, Mort Mortensen.
Already?
Yeah.
All right.
Paul Keene, organic farming pioneer. Mark?
Yeah.
Paul Keene, the former mathematics professor and avowed pacifist, organic farmer who, quote, just wanted to get back to the land, got his wish last month when he was buried in it. I'm allergic to land.
Yeah. I had that feeling.
Yeah. In the late 1930s, while teaching in northern India, Keene got
met Mohandas Gandhi, whose belief in simple living inspired Keene to get the hell out of India and start a multi-million-dollar business.
Yeah, it will.
I had some curry this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're not allergic to curry.
Well, it makes me teary-eyed.
Oh, a little bit, but not allergic.
No, not allergic. I don't sneeze or anything. I don't get any asthma. Just make me... Oh, well.
You can be. You want him Kleenex?
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Just want, let's take care of it. He knows he's running over. Messy.
So emotional.
Yeah, I understand. Hard job you have.
More than half a century, Keene's Walnut Acres Farm produced an array of products, including peanut butter, granola, and instruction booklets on how to sit cross-legged on the lawn, wearing earth shoes, and playing a flute while deflecting rocks thrown by the cool kids. In the 1940s and 50s, Keene's views on organic farming were considered eccentric, so much so that people labeled him with a communist and even burned crosses on his lawn, incidents that probably led to his debut of the world's first organic urine-based fire extinguisher.
No, come on.
Yes, it's organic, urine-based.
Yeah, I get it. It's horrifying.
Allergic to urine.
Yeah. How would you go to the bathroom?
I can't. Keene requested his remains be buried with sea salt and love.
Aww. Yeah.
Henry Corden, voice of Fred Flintstone.
Oh,
yes. Oh, man.
Henry Corden, who for almost 30 years was famous for voicing the character of Fred Flintstone with his iconic Yabba Dabba Doo, is Yabba Dabba dead? In addition to the popular children's slash adult-oriented cartoon series, Corden also supplied his voice for a string of specials such as The Flintstones Get New Neighbors, Fred's Final Fling, and Fred and Barney Get Gonorrhea Stone. Gonorrhea Stone.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Gonorrhea Stone.
Yeah. Speaking of stones, I'm allergic to marble dust.
Marble dust? Yeah. What the hell is marble dust?
You gotta see, yeah, go to museums.
Oh,
Corden reportedly died of multiple puncture wounds after trying to shave himself with a clamshell full of bumblebees and use a porcupine as a hairbrush.
That'll do it.
That'll do it right away.
Yeah.
Corden's unrealistically requested his remains be interred inside the beak of a priceless pterodactyl skeleton. There he goes. Oh. Anyway, this has been this morning's remembrance. Until next week, this is Mort Morton's Zane. Who's chopping onions?
Wow.
The Morning Sedition Radio Theater Company players bring you their production of Marc Maron and the Temple of Doom.
In his last adventure, Private Eye Marc Maron was shot, went to heaven, was hired by God to find the Antichrist, and was brought back to life again. And that was just episode one.
I was finally out of the hospital and sewn up like Priscilla Owen's judicial nomination. My new assistant Grace was wheeling me out. Grace is tough, a real wiseacre, and a hot tomato on top of it. She's also gayer than a bridal shower at Rosie O'Donnell's house.
So when do we get back to work, Maron? I didn't take this job to play nursemaid. I was told I could kick some political hack ass. I've got a black belt that's getting wrinkled and a gloss that's itching to be self-actualized.
Just so happens I do have a job for you. I need you to make believe you're my wife.
You must have me confused with Meryl Streep, and I'm not sure she could even pull off this acting job. The day I marry a guy, Bill Frist will be giving Tom DeLay a stem cell transfusion at the end of a boob job.
Hey, I do those political film noir metaphors. It's your job to be the outrageous angry dyke stereotype. Now spackle those piercings and pack a bag. We're leaving tomorrow for the Holier Than Them Festival in Atlanta. It's a huge recruitment drive for the Crystal Fascist Zombie Brigade. A 3-day festival of prayer, paranoia, and gay bashing. It's as good a place as any to start looking.
Looking for who?
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist? That's simple. Dick Cheney.
Hey, let's not jump ahead. It's only episode 2 here.
Welcome to the Holier Than Them Festival, folks. Is this your first visit to the Blood of the Heterosexual Christ megachurch?
Yep. We're just in from Abilene. My wife and I are celebrating our first anniversary, and we couldn't think of a better way to do it. Right, honey?
You know, honey is a demeaning word for women. It objectifies us as foodstuff and relegates us to the second sex role of mere consumption.
That's real funny, dear.
You think that's funny? How come you don't laugh at my Marga Gomez CDs?
Oh, you sound just like one of those liberal feminist dyke Christ killers from New York City. We all like a good laugh around here. Matter of fact, Rush Limbaugh is going to do a little comedy deal for us tomorrow. I need to ask you both a few questions before you go through the metal detector. Are you bringing in any fruits or vegetables?
No.
Has your luggage been in your possession all day?
Yes.
Do you accept Jesus as your personal savior and forsake Satan, the Democratic Party, and HBO?
Even The Sopranos?
Oh, your little lady sure is a pistol.
Yes, she is, and she better stop shooting off her mouth.
Go on through the metal detector, please. Hold on, Mark, is it?
Yeah.
The detector didn't go off. Can you go through again?
But it didn't go off.
That's the problem. Where's your crucifix?
I had one, but a gay black guy stole it from me just before we left.
You know, that happens more often than you'd think. Just go over to that table and get yourself a house crucifix. Okay, Grace, is it? What a beautiful name. Step right through the detector. Hallelujah. Hold on, I don't see your crucifix.
Oh, I'm wearing it in a special place. He knows it's there.
Praise Jesus. Go right ahead, sister.
A crucifix?
It's one of my piercings. I put it where no man will ever see.
Sweet Jesus.
Praise his name, brother.
Are Mark and his new assistant Grace in danger now that they've penetrated the first level of the Christo-Fascist Zombie Brigade? Why was the person who registered them talking into his lapel as they walked away? And did anyone get the connection between Grace's piercing and the Exorcist? Well, now you have. Tune in next week when we hear Rush Limbaugh say, "Where can I score around here?" That's next week on Mark Maron and the Temple of Doom. And tune in later for the Morning Sedition Radio Theater Company Players production of the Mark and Mark Death Poetry Jam.
I call this Voices in My Head. I got voices in my head. I can't get rid of them. They tell me to do bad things, deadly things. I try to shut them off. I don't want to kill anybody. Then the voice stops for a day or two. I run a few errands, maybe get a slice. Hey, while I've got you here, be honest. Do you think I'm going bald? Thank you.
I call this piece, I Work With a Crazy White Guy. I work with a crazy white guy who hears voices in his head, and I think he's going to kill someone. Call the police immediately. I'm going to keep reading off this piece of paper like it's all part of the poem. But I'm serious. Call a cop. That's my poem. Thank you.
That's coming up later on Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
Oh, Franken, nothing to lose. Makes you laugh at the troubling news. Sometimes I wonder if he's hitting the booze. Oh, Franken, king of the Jews.
Air America Radio.
For this wonderful free tape, call 1-800-550-6146. That's 1-800-550-6146.
Nine past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo!
We're at City Bakery here in Manhattan on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. You're listening to Air America Radio. Come on down if you're in the neighborhood. It's been fun. It's been a lot of exciting stuff. I've not had one pastry yet, Riley. Not one pastry.
How did you hold out?
I think that's a cry for help. I think I need a pastry, please.
Uh-oh.
Something with sugar on it.
This is the biggest piece of French toast I think I've ever seen in my life.
Poor Riley's drinking the hot chocolate going, this is really sweet, thick hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Is it good, buddy?
I'm ready to crash.
All right. Don't crash yet. Right now with us, a regular guest on our show. We're very happy to have him. He used to be the front man of Soul Coughing. His early solo CDs, Skittish and Rockety Roll, were released in December 2004. Mike Doty.
Hey, man.
How are you?
Mike!
The new CD. Haughty melodic.
Haughty melodic.
Haughty melodic.
Haughty melodic.
Haughty melodic.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we keep saying it? Just keep saying it? How you been, man? Where you been? What's going on?
Well, I've been sleeping.
Thanks for coming
down.
No,
I'm not.
Where's the, what's that mean, Haughty Melodic? Did you just decide
it's,
to make
it's an
it
anagram for Michael Doty.
Is
ah,
really?
There you go.
Seriously, I went to anagram.com. And
are you serious?
Yeah, totally.
That worked out well then.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when was the last time you were here? It's been like 4 or 5 months ago. What have you been doing? You've been
like
touring?
I feel like I'm here every other freaking day.
Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
Good thing.
I'm down.
Where you been?
I put a record out like a month ago, and I've been all over.
Yeah?
You know,
you've been touring with the record?
Yeah, just, yeah.
Any interesting places? Interesting things happened?
I mean, you
weird
know.
Weird things?
Your standard New York, Los Angeles, Chicago.
Yeah?
You know, lots of stalkers, lots of fun, yeah.
Dude, when I want to stalk, how do you handle a stalker?
Hugs and kisses, really.
Do you? I've always believed that if you have a stalker and they're frightening you, the best thing to do is just maybe, you know, have lunch with them.
Yeah.
Because you'll disappoint them. And they'll
exactly
be like, oh, you're nothing I expected.
The way to defuse them is by being boring.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And then they're like, I don't want you. I want the myth I created in my head.
Exactly.
You're
exactly
a disappointing celebrity. Yeah. I'm moving on. So that's happened?
Yeah, oh,
it's
totally
like that scene in Almost Famous where Lester Bangs, it's like, what do you think, I have time to hang around with kids? They're hanging around. Yeah,
yeah, totally.
So you going to do some songs for us?
I am. Do they have me plugged in yet?
I don't know.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah? Okay.
Okay. Where am I?
So, you know, Riley,
I have a question.
Okay, you go ahead, Riley.
Well, because you've got this new CD, Haughty Melodic, and one of the tracks is called Busting Up a Starbucks, which I think is pretty apropos given the fact that we're in an un-Starbucks environment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's not exactly an anti-Starbucks song. It's about sort of rage and misplaced rage and, you know,
caffeine.
I have no understanding what you're talking about. Misplaced rage, I have no idea.
I've come with a message for you, Mark.
Uh-oh.
Yeah? Wait, I like when people hand me notes in the middle of it. So, now, someone told me that you, is this possibly, did you write an Aquaman comic? Is that true?
Yeah, seriously, I wrote an Aquaman comic. They called me out of the blue. This has been like the best year for my resume because I wrote an Aquaman comic and photographed softcore porn pictures for suicide girls.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
What is that? Explain it to
it's
me.
Like,
I'm
like a
again,
punk rock,
out of the loop.
Like sort of pin-up, like almost porn site.
So you photographed softcore porn for...
For suicide girls, yeah.
Hey, you know, these are just freelance gigs? You're like, I'm not playing?
I'm on staff at DC Comics and Suicide Girls.
I'm going to be a pornographer for you.
Don't tell one
days
about the other.
So where what are some of the songs on this CD?
Let's see. The hit, quote unquote, is Looking at the World from the Bottom of a Well,
mm-hmm,
which the marketing people love because it fits so well on a sticker.
Yeah.
You know? there's a song called White Lexus, Busting Up a Starbucks.
White Lexus, fortune. What's that about?
I don't know, man. It's kind of about a drug dealer. It's kind of about, I don't know. It's one of those songs that's sort of like, I don't know, it's turned into like a Blue Oyster Cult song with the fans there.
Oh, really?
It's about death, man.
And
it's about an angel.
Okay.
You know, getting lots of weird
now,
interpretations.
Dave Matthews plays on your record?
Yeah. He's always my boss.
He's your boss?
Yeah, ATO Records is his label.
Can you explain to me about the Dave Matthews mystique? I'm missing it. I don't understand.
Well, here's the thing about Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
I have one of my managers was like really into like serious jazz in the early 70s.
Yeah.
And now what he says is like, what an idiot I was. I could have seen Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And I seriously think Dave Matthews is like that. And
it's like Led Zeppelin?
Well, yeah, seriously.
Come on, man.
Seriously.
Like Zeppelin?
Seriously.
I don't understand. I don't get any sort of like...
Well, it doesn't sound
I'm putting you in an awkward position to talk bad about your boss, but I'm not misguided enough to like Dave Matthews. Maybe you have to be able to tour with him for months on end.
I love my boss.
Ah, there you go.
Seriously, I love my boss.
So the last time we talked, you had gone to, where were you, like Africa? Or
Ethiopia,
something?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Were you able to incorporate any of the textures of that music into this album?
No, not really. I mean, you just go somewhere like that and it's like, why do I play music at all? Like, why do I bother? Because just like the average dude on the street is like more amazing than anyone I've ever met in my life.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just... Like, what they do with rhythms is, like, incredible. And just effortless.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lounge band at the hotel I was staying at in Addis Ababa.
Yeah.
And it was like the most amazing band I ever saw in my life. And, you know, Ethiopians are just sitting around drinking
coffee. I like Senegalese music. What is it? You know a guy that plays Senegalese music, don't you?
Oh, well, there's Usain Dur. There's a bunch of people that play Senegalese music. Most of them, I think, speak Wolof.
What's that huge instrument that looks like a harp that's made out of a gourd?
A kora?
Yeah. That's like one of the greatest sound instruments in the world.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So can we? Are we going to be able to? No, we're not going to be able to. We're going to do it in a minute. Do the big jamming.
Yeah.
So word to jamming.
Now, when you're traveling, have you been touring with a band at all, or just doing complete solo stuff?
This time I went out with my keyboard player, Handsome Dan Chen.
Yeah.
Who's awesome.
Yeah.
And just a sound guy, and we're just barnstorming in a van.
Do you have an opening act or no?
Yeah, we had a couple of this girl, Kelly Buchanan, this girl, Susan Enan.
Do they look up to you and thank you and say, thanks, man, I really appreciate it. Yeah.
That's the screening process, actually. We bring them in. If they, like, sacrifice a goat, then they're on.
If they don't adore you, they can't be on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, when you play, what are the venues you're playing? How big are they?
600, 700, something like that. Bowery Ballroom here, Troubadour in L.A.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
When's your next gig?
I'll play Nashville on Sunday night.
Have you been to Nashville before?
Many times.
And is that is a good scene for you?
Yeah, it's fine. It's such a weird town, man.
I know. I went to the Country Music Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Hall of Fame.
How was that?
It was fine. I saw Hank Williams' drug bottle.
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have Elvis's belt buckle.
Right on.
And it's still got a little vomit on it.
It's really, they just moved the stuff in here. I'm looking to get the Hank Williams bottle of methadone.
I don't think they had the methadone.
Oh, man.
So, in a minute, we're going to play, which song are you thinking about playing?
I'm going to play Busting Up a Starbucks.
All right.
Well, that's appropriate. So he's going to play for us, and we've got James Walcott from the Vanity Fair. Lawton Smalls is going to be here. Stay with us at City Baker. Six past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Tradition on Air America Radio live at City Bakery. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. Got a guy with a sign that says abort Bush wandering around handing out abort Bush pieces of paper. We've got a tremendous group of people. There's now up to 1.5 million here at the bakery.
Thanks, Tommy.
Going to have to open that stadium just for these people.
Yes.
Boo. I'm not endorsing it. I was just making a joke. Take care. Take it easy. Don't freak out. In the studio right now, Mike Doty, the ex front man for Soul Coughing.
Yeah.
His new CD, Skittish, not the old CD.
That's the old
CD. Haughty Melodic.
Haughty Melodic.
We're going to do a couple tunes from that.
Yep.
What do you got?
A song called Bussin' Up a Starbucks.
Do it up.
Goes out to the Crypto Fascist Zombie Brigade.
Yay!
It will always be the end of time, the end of love. End of life. The dogs will howl and yank the leash from tree to tree, from east to east. Does the man who makes the shoes own you, clown? You can't even buy the nameplate off. How can you fix it with your tiny fist there at James Van Der Beek and then sisters on sister sister? The only one that's ever felt this was you. The force is forcing you to feel like busting off a Starbucks. Busting off a Starbucks. Busting off a Starbucks. Busting off a Starbucks. This bitter drink made you drunk. Thoughts you think become unsung. Seize the blade.
water's red, the flames are blue. Does the man who makes the shoes on you clown? You can't even buy the nameplate off now, can you? Fix it with your tiny fit, Sarah. James Vander Beacon and sister from sister sister, the only one that sells others is you, the force forcing you to feel like busting off a Starbucks, busting off a Starbucks, busting off a Starbucks, busting off a Starbucks. Niagara won't conquer, East Orange, get away, busting off a Starbucks, busting off a Starbucks, busting off a Starbucks, busting off a Starbucks. Busting off a Starbucks. Busting off a Starbucks. Busting off a Starbucks. Busting off a Starbucks.
Mike Doty.
Thank you very much.
Mike Doty, great.
Very nice.
That's a beautiful song. Jim Walcott's going to be out here in a few minutes to talk to us about the Vanity Fair scooping the Washington Post there on the Deep Throat story.
Deep Throat, dude.
And he's going to, you know, also do his general sort of cultural assessment of the media at large right now, Jim Walcott, in a few minutes. But
yeah.
I'd like you to play another song, if that possible,
yeah,
Mike
fine.
Doty.
Yeah.
What do you got now?
I'll play a song called White Lexus.
White Lexus, Mike White Doty, Lexus. Once again.
By the way, it's a really happy day for me because I remember in 1974 they preempted Batman for the Watergate hearings. Deep, deep memory for me. Yeah.
Is that a bad memory? A
no,
good memory?
It's a beautiful. Well, I was very angry at the time, but now it's a good memory. As a four-year-old, I did not understand. I suppose Halberman in a Batman costume would make me feel better. Yeah.
Please show me how to live. Please show me how to have a day. I don't want to wake up now. Why do I have to wake up anyway? Like a soap star in anguish, Wilbur Bland. When your white Lexus comes around the way, I lay in a long driveway, try to feel nothing on command. When your white Lexus comes through, be damned. I'll forgive the world right now. Still I play the chump's role every time. My world's the surface of the moon. My heart's down in the diamond mine. Like the black stars of Memphis moaning on. When your white Lexus comes to drive me out, drive me to the edge of town. Try to feel nothing on command. When your white Lexus comes through, be damned, damn at the last damn man. When your white Lexus comes through, when your white Lexus comes, when your white Lexus comes.
Mike Doty. Excellent.
Thank you.
I love your voice, man.
Oh, thank you.
It's a great song.
I love yours. I love
oh,
your
that's
voice.
So very oh. sweet of you. Mike Doty, the new album, Haughty Melodic.
Haughty Melodic.
Jim Walcott, be out here next. Vanity Fair's, I guess he's a media column writer, very frequent guest on our show. We're going to go into the deep throat and how his magazine scooped the Washington Post on their own story, and also what mysteries might be left out there in the world and whether journalism is dead. Can you play us out there?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Mike.
So stay with us. We're at City Bakery in New York at 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. We'll be back with Jim Walcott at Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Yeah.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
Experts now. 800-396-9711. 800-396-9711. That's 800-396-9711.
The hour. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
We're coming to you live from City Bakery here in Manhattan on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. We're hanging out with Mike Doty. We're hanging out with Jim Walcott's going to be here in a minute from Vanity Fair to talk about the Deep Throat scandal. But right now, you know, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world. So now, on the phone once again, is Planet Bush Bureau Chief Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Lawton.
Yeah.
Good morning.
I'm actually here, Mark.
Good morning, Lawton.
Did
I say on the phone?
You said on the phone, which is completely wrong. But
I didn't realize you were going to come. It's nice to see you.
I'm here in New York, and I've never been here before. And now I know why. Look at all these sad folks. $2 for a croissant. Come on. Why do you live here?
Come on, take
That's
it easy.
Robbery.
Take it easy, Lawton. We're having a live show. We thought you might enjoy it a little bit.
Mark, the only reason I came to New York was to see Ground Zero, to see Saddam's handiwork.
Oh.
But I guess we showed him. He's out there in his underwear now. I got a poster of him in his underwear right there on my garage.
Come on,
hilarious.
Man. Come on.
I laugh and laugh.
No one even believes that WMD stuff anymore, Lawton.
Well,
come on.
Nobody in the fancy bakeries you hang out in. Where I live, however, you know, I wanted to see the place where George W. two-terms mandate Bush got in the bulldozer and moved all that rubble out of Ground Zero
all
by himself.
Come on.
He's the greatest president ever. There he is in the bulldozer.
Yeah. Well, why don't you...
Fantastic.
One seems very, very happy to be here
hey,
there,
Ron. Let me tell you something.
What?
Until this morning, I thought we were winning the war on terror.
Yeah.
Then I got in a cab and took a look at the driver.
No. No.
Mark, you all are
come
surrounded.
On. Come on.
Okay? If I told this guy to take me to Osama's cave, he would have taken me right there. It was like I was in the Al-Qaeda cab company.
Oh,
I was very...
That's racial profiling, Lawton. It's disgusting. But I guess it shouldn't surprise me coming from you. I mean, New York, my friend, is the most diverse city on earth. You're just going to have to deal with that. Yes, see, Lawton, a little outnumbered, aren't you? How's that feel, buddy?
Let me tell you what New York is. This is the gay, liberal, godless, secular agenda vomited out over a giant city grid. Vomited out.
That's awesome.
New York is where Satan lives, Mark. This is where he gets his mail. Right here. La Casa de Beelzebub.
Hey, come on.
Satan.
So why would you say that? I mean, why? You've been here one day. One. What are you so negative for?
All right.
What?
I was up in Times Square, okay?
Yeah.
Teenage hookers everywhere.
What are you talking about?
Everywhere with their little tank top, legs, and
come
their
on.
Dirty little smiles.
Oh, come on.
Dozen of them just getting off of buses. It was unbelievable. It's Sodom on the hood.
Stop it.
Sodom.
That was probably some church group here on a theater trip. Happens every day.
Okay, let's play Fool the Current. I'm done. All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, what's with everybody wearing black in this town? Who died? Okay, did Joy die?
I think
it was murdered.
Lawton, come on, man. This is
murdered.
It's a great city. People love it here.
Yeah, I don't know how. There's no public toilet. Okay? So I suppose that could account for the nasty attitude I've been getting everywhere.
Come on.
I wave at folks. all day yesterday. Yeah. It's like I'm not here.
Oh, come on.
And, you know, okay, yesterday I see a light.
Yeah.
It says W.
Yeah.
And I said, finally! It's a hotel! Full of glass and skinny girls and overpriced drinks. I can't tell you my disappointment, Mark.
Come on,
I can't
man.
Tell you.
Come on, buddy. Come on, man. I mean, no one was helpful to you today at all.
All right, there
what?
Was one guy.
Yeah.
There was one fella.
Yeah.
He told me to go to a place called The Rawhide.
Yeah.
Said they would understand my kind
yes.
there. So I went downstairs and waited in the corner and said, I'd get a surprise. I'm going to go there right after.
Yeah, you better.
What are you laughing at? You're eating $3 muffins.
That's all right. Well, look,
that's funny.
Come on. I'm pretty good at figuring you out, Lawton. So
no,
I know
not.
What this is about.
Sodom.
No, you love New York, buddy, don't you?
No,
you love
no,
it. Come on, you
no,
love it.
You're wrong.
Come on.
Wrong.
You love it. You always love New York. You
no.
love how loud it is. You love how fast it is. You
no.
love the fact that people aren't all the same and aren't afraid to speak
no.
their minds. You actually hate Planet Bush, don't you? New York is the promised land, isn't it? Yes, it is, Lawton. Go ahead. Oh, look at that. What's up, man?
Oh, Broadway, Mark. I love Broadway.
I do.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
I love Broadway
I
so
know
much.
You do. Yeah, that's it,
so
baby.
So much.
Yeah.
You know, this Planet Bush is boring. I hate it. You know, as a kid, I used to go around dressed as Rum-Tum Jugger from Cats for weeks at a time. Weeks. Today I walked around 44th Street all day long,
yeah.
hoping I'd run into Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh. So did you run into him?
No, Mark, but I could have. That's the deal. I could have run into him.
Yeah.
I want to live the rest of my life here. Planet Bush is boring. I hate it. There's no theater. There's only NASCAR. Oh, what theater? And look at these stupid clothes. You people look great. Memory.
Oh, no.
All alone
no, no.
in the moon.
Oh, no, no, no. No singing,
I
please.
Can smile.
Come on, Lawton.
Sing
please.
With me, Mike.
Please.
Oh, how beautiful day.
Oh, no, no, no. Please don't
I
sing.
Remember.
Please, Lawton. Lawton, please.
I
please.
Knew what happiness
stop
was.
It. Stop it.
Let the
oh,
memory.
God. Oh, my God. Please stop it. Just stop singing. What? You all right? You going to be all right? Are you going to be all right, buddy? Come on, now I'm concerned. You okay? Huh? Come on. All right, take it easy.
And what is with all the music here? It's all hip-hop. I haven't heard Toby Keith
oh,
today.
Oh, see, now he's
are
back.
We in America?
All right.
Where's Toby Keith?
All right, goodbye, Lawton.
I've had it.
Yeah, goodbye.
Mark,
get out. Nice
I love
you.
You. Deal with it.
Okay.
Deal with it.
I'm trying. Lawton Bush. Lawton Smalls from Planet Bush. People love them from Lawton. Right now, I'm, what's that, sir? Okay. So, like, right now, we're gonna come back and talk to James Wolcott in just a second. Mike Doty is still here, still playing. We got a great audience. If you want to drop by, there's a few more minutes. We're at City Bakery.
Yeah.
We're here in Manhattan. We're on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. So coming down if you want. If you want a podcast, go to morningtradition.com. Jim Wolcott coming up next. Please, if you could, stay with us.
Ammunition dumps, it just goes on and on.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
24 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
It's morning tradition at City Bakery here in Manhattan on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. There actually is about, you know, several...
several million.
There's a few million people here. Got Mike Doty hanging out playing with us. Mike Doty, thanks for coming down. That was great.
Yeah, Mike.
Maybe we'll get another song. We'll see if we got time. So right now, sitting in front of me is the contributing editor for Vanity Fair and author of Attack Poodles and Other Media Mutants, The Looting of the News in a Time of Terror, Jim Walcott. Good morning.
Morning, Jim.
Come on, give it up for Jim. Jim's one of the good guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me to Woodstock.
Yes, anytime. Morning Sedition Stock. So how does it feel? Have you been over to is Vanity Fair? Are they all excited that they scooped the Washington Post on this Deep Throat story or what?
Oh, I think they're getting a secret tingle out of it because, I mean, part of the pleasure of it is denying Bob Woodward the last big score.
Yes.
Because you know that Woodward, I mean, he kept saying, well, we're never going to reveal the identity until the person's dead. And you know they were thinking, like, all right, how many more minutes does he have on Earth?
Yeah.
You know, and so that was going to be the big final, you know, payday.
Well, I think it's good payback for Woodward becoming, like, you know, an administration suck-up. That guy's really lost his journalistic integrity.
Oh, well, there's a reason why he has that access.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
because they know. I mean, and there are certain people know you can leak to him and you're going to be okay. Because
he knows Jeff Gannon. That's why he had that kind of accent.
Now, Jim, how? I mean, a lot of people got very excited about the exposure of Deep Throat. I got to say, you know, I lived through Watergate. Wasn't it more media hype than the public actually being all exercised about this thing?
Well, you know, somebody compared it to Hunter Thompson's death, in that it hit a certain cohort of baby boomers, you know, people who read Rolling Stone at a certain time in their lives.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things you've noticed that with the Deep Throat story is that no one's actually talking about what Watergate was and why it was so dangerous. Instead, what they're all like, well, I remember the time when I used to get up at 6 a.m. and get the Washington Post to read what was happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. And also, you'll notice, they never go to the New York Times about this because New York Times got totally beaten on this story every step of the way. It was like they were playing tag along. But for a lot of reporters, it's their nostalgia. It's their baby boom nostalgia.
But I got to assume that some of these reporters who had one time aspired to take on the halls of power and figure out where corruption lies, they've got to be reminded that they're just bitter losers who sold out.
Yeah, but see, they don't think they're losers because when they go to the cocktail parties and talk to Paul Wolfowitz and hang out, they feel like they're winners. They feel like they're in the inner circle. If you ever watch those C-SPAN book parties that bring together the Washington journalists and the politicians.
I've seen those, yeah.
The mingling.
Terminally boring.
They feel they're in the inner circle. So they feel like the poor schmuck who's actually looking up stuff in the library, they feel like he's the loser.
So they're a bunch of starers.
Yeah. That's a good. I'm not even sure they're actually doing it. They're more like... from afar.
Uh-oh.
You know? So now, what I want to know is, even the sort of passive, irresponsible media, I don't believe there's a liberal media, or I just believe that there's an irresponsible media, that they're sort of, like you said, trivializing this thing just by saying, this is the guy that, you know, caused all the trouble. And then you got the ultimate, the right-wing response, which is sort of along the lines of, like, this is the guy that caused Vietnam. Now, which is disgusting, because I can understand how people will align themselves with a crime, actually admit it. But what I want to know is there any way that the right wing is ever going to start to take a hit in the media that you can see?
Oh, I don't see it. But for one thing, they've so moved into the mainstream. The fact that you have G. Gordon Liddy and Buchanan and people like that talking about this and not being treated like the thugs they were at the time.
Actual Watergate criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
G. Gordon Liddy, who we used to laugh at Liddy because, remember, you know, I could put my hand over the flame unflinchingly, you know. And... but now he's up there, and then everybody's like, well, you know, he's kind of a cool dude, you know?
Yeah, no, Colson converted to Christianity. He was in jail.
Hey, he'll never be saved, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that gives you so much absolution. That wipes so much of the slate clean. You know, you find Jesus, you know, and you stick with that. But no one has, you know, ever talked about, suppose Nixon had totally gotten away with it. I mean, that's a very scary...
It's happening now.
It's happening now. But it's happening now much smoother. Now it doesn't have to happen underneath the surface.
Much smoother.
They've gotten really good at screwing the country.
They have.
They perfected it.
They have.
This is the resistance right here. This is all of us.
Yep.
Like the Alamo.
Yeah, right. Most people are sort of like, yeah, I'd like to resist, but I got to be early.
Yeah.
A little early for resistance.
But now, Jim, you know, you look at the history of this, and then you ask yourself, you know, would journalists today, if they had the same kind of story, pursue it with the same kind of vigor in the face of the kind of intimidation that Nixon brought on the Washington Post? Now, they went after them with both guns drawn, and Ben Bradley stood up. Would people stand up today?
Oh, no. Well, because the thing is, it's not the reporters. At that point, it's the editors. And the editors got pressure from other people. The editors have pressure from publishers. A lot of it, some of it's money. It's like, we can't commit the resources to have two guys investigate a story for 3 months if there's no payoff. So I think now what would happen is the first time there was a roadblock, it'd be like, oh, okay, you go. But one of the things that amazes me about the press in this country, particularly in Washington, is the total lack of curiosity. I mean, no one is still asking, what was Jeff Gannon doing on all those White House visits when there weren't briefings? You know? I mean, there are logs of him going in, but not logs of him coming out.
Maybe it's a different kind of brief.
I thought he was already out.
Well, you know,
he plays
it so cagey.
Well,
I love it when people say, well, you know, my past is in the past. My past of all, like, 6 months ago, that was on the Internet.
Yeah, my past is online.
You know, they're like porn stars.
It's fabulous.
Like, oh, you know, yeah, I had my own site for a while.
Is everybody doing porn on the Internet?
But
a real journalist would actually go deeper and actually find the pictures of Gannon with Karl Rove and release those to the paper, right?
Oh.
Hey, what happened to those journalists?
Well, first, it would be nice to know, like, who did he visit? And the thing about Gannon is, he's got a reckless mouth. If you talk to him long enough, he'll blurt something out. Because he loves the attention.
Is that the next cover of Vanity Fair? Have you been talking to the man?
Oh, no. You know, ever since I started a blog, nobody tells you anything.
Oh, really?
You know, it's like, well, I'll tell you this, but as long as you promise not to blog it.
Off the record.
And it's like, well, what's the point of that? You know, I'm not keeping it.
But it's interesting. I was reading a Bob Herbert piece on just exactly what the responsibility of journals are and were, was essentially that it was supposed to investigate. It was supposed to take on power. It was supposed to find something that will push through and actually, you know, reveal some lie or some hypocrisy. And there's so few guys doing that now. Maybe Cy Hirsch and a few other cats. Who are the guys that are actually doing the work?
Well, there are a few. I mean, the Nation has reporters who are doing it. A lot of times, one of the things that's very frustrating for people is you see stuff in, like, the English press that doesn't break over here.
Yeah.
And it's like, there is this thing called the Internet. It's like everyone has access to what the Downing memo, you know, Downing Street memo was. But it's like it hits a blank wall over here.
Yeah.
And in part it's because when something big happens that has nothing to do with politics, everything else gets pushed under. The moment, it doesn't matter what happens in this country, the moment we get the Michael Jackson verdict, in fact, if you were in the White House and you wanted to release the worst news you had, you would wait until the Michael Jackson verdict, and then you'd come out and say, oh, by the way, military recruiting was actually down 70%, you know?
Unbelievable.
And it'll be lost until the following Tuesday.
So not only do people in other countries hate us, they're laughing at us.
Oh, well, I think they're disgusted. See, because the thing is, they used to think Bush was an aberration. They don't think Bush is an aberration anymore. They now think the whole country's an aberration.
Well, that's a good note to end on.
That is. Yeah.
Jim Walcott, thanks for joining us. It was great talking to you. The book is
Jim Walcott
and Other Media Mutants, The Looting of the News in a Time of Terror. Mike Doty, you want to play us into a little pause here? Great talking to you.
Yeah.
You're listening to Air America Radio, this morning's edition. Live at City Bakery in Manhattan.
system can f*** themselves in the mouth and eat their own waste. You know, that's what I say. So leave me alone. I'm trying to get a good take and replay it back on my touch-tone pad. So can I play and get a good recording so I can hear how it sounds? I got an inconsistent mental disposition.
Next message.
Morning Sedition. On Air America Radio.
866-800-957-6066, 800-957-6066. Not available in all states.
Forty-eight past the hour. Let's land this thing.
Yeah.
Mark Maron here. Rourke Riley.
Yo.
Morning Sedition. Air America Radio, we're coming to you live from City Bakery here in Manhattan. It's been quite a morning.
It has been.
I think every liberal in Manhattan is here, the ones that aren't working.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's been a good day so far.
It's been fun.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Mark.
Yeah. What's up, Dan?
Sorry to interrupt you, man, but we got this guy here. He calls in a lot, but Ted from Nebraska is actually here.
Yeah, once again, you liberals are completely wrong. This time about Deep Throat. He was a traitor. He should be put in prison.
Happening. Oh, no, I hate when... help me, Riley. Oh, my God. Oh, no, it's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh, no.
And now, live from Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservatives' way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, neocons! It's 34 past the hour here on Radio Halliburton, where the truth hurts. So they found Deep Throat, huh? A-hole, here's a big tip. Oh, yeah, there's a leak for you. Spread that around. So Deep Throat turned out to be W. Mark Felt, huh? You know what the word, what W stands for? Traitor, that's what I say.
I'm W. Mark Felt, and I ratted on the president because I'm a communist and a homosexual. Oops, my penis fell off. Oh, sorry.
Hey, listen, old-timer. Where you been hiding for 30 years there? Welcome back. Glad to see the mystery's been solved. Thanks for clearing that up, buddy. How do you like being 90? Uh-oh, looks like Grandpa's leaking again. Hey, Woodward, Bernstein, write this down. Hey, it's 36 past the hour. Let's take a call. You're on the air, caller.
Oh, those damn liberals, feminazis, taxes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Good point, caller. Amnesty International is absurd. Who are they trying to criticize us about Guantanamo?
Oh, I think that you should treat terrorists like guests in your house. Would you like a fluffy pillow, Mr. Jihad? Let me get you a mint and the blueprints to our nuclear plant.
Happy now, peacenik. I'd like to get you liberal surrender monkeys in a small room with a pair of pliers.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Hey, it's 38 after the hour. Time for the neocon farm report. We've got a bumper crop of embryos. Hey, who wants a snowflake baby? How about you, liberal? Oh, sorry, kids. You were expendable. Stick around, neocons. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
Don't touch that dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Right and Early.
Are you all right there, Mary?
What happened, man?
You back?
Did I black out?
You okay?
I don't know. I think I had some sort of sugar rush there or something. Did I pass out?
Seek help.
Was I standing up the whole time?
Yeah.
Did that thing happen again?
It happened again.
Oh, sorry.
And here's Doug Krieger to tell you what you want.
Doug Krieger, as some of you know.
Still on the air, guys. I
mean, how are you, Doug?
Hey, good.
So what are you doing now? Just working here at the bakery?
Yeah. You got to get a job. Jeez, I'm a recovering CEO. So
there you go.
Doug Krieger was one of the founders, and if it weren't for him, Air America would not have happened at all.
Yeah. Right there. Oh.
Hey, I want to thank you guys. You guys are doing a great job.
Or as Al Franken would say, does who?
Yeah, that's right. You wouldn't recognize me.
Thank you very much for saying we're doing a great job. I appreciate it.
You know how I feel about you.
I do. I do. For the first 6 months, you're like, I don't know if Marin's working out.
I knew Riley was okay. I wasn't.
Hey, what can I tell you?
Come on.
No, I'm standing up for my partner, I think.
That's very nice of you, Riley.
So, your soccer
shirt? I know. I wore it yesterday. I couldn't wear it today.
Okay.
So, Krieger, tell us an uplifting story about the beginning of Air America.
Well, we're out of time.
There is none. But we're here. Here's the uplifting story.
Yes.
But I want to thank everybody at the City Bakery who is on the staff, who made And also the regular City Bakery customers, thank you for letting us be here. I know you come out here in the morning to mellow out before the day.
I'm going to read their names because, you know, as an owner, you probably don't know them. Becky, I'm kidding. Let's thank the City Bakery staff, Sarah Jane Weeks, Mary Rubin, Katie Braden, Brenda Kaur, John Landy, Lillian Tervoni, Max Serra, Sid Kreischka. I shouldn't have done this. Dahlia Sosa, and, of course, Doug and Wendy Krieger. I want to thank all the people at Air America that helped us out down here. Gerald Downer, Juan Diaz, Lucy Kerrigan, Terry Keeney, Scott Elberg, Jonathan Larson, Chris Lopresto. Say hi to Kalo, everybody.
Kalo!
He's up in the booth doing the hard work. Kalo, the Costco ho. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, as every day. Brendan P.W. McDonald right here.
Yes.
And, of course, Doug and Wendy Krieger. Doug and Wendy Krieger. Did I say your name enough? Are we going to be good? Is everything all right?
I also want to say hi to my daughter in Chicago with our new station out there at 8:50 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah. We had somebody from Chicago that was here.
And my son up in Boston, Cape Cod, 1230 a.m.
All right.
Shout out to all you guys.
All right, so, folks, if you're just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Ted Turner says CNN focuses too much on perverts. Turner said CNN would be able to focus on more serious news after the launch of his latest channel, the Freeway Chase and Water Skiing Squirrels Network. Then out of the blue, Turner said, Monster-in-law? What a piece of crap. What a load of crap. Total crap. By the way, I dumped her. Remember that I dumped her. Amnesty International wants access for an investigation of Guantanamo. It's true that no one ever calls Gitmo a gulag. The local Cubans refer to it as El Gulago. A fan claims comedian Gallagher hit him at a show. Gallagher acknowledged in an interview with the Las Vegas Review-Journal that he struck an audience member but compared it with throwing a pie in someone's face. It got a laugh, and that's what this is about, he said. As a matter of fact, it got such a big laugh, tomorrow I'm going to bash someone's head open with a big wooden hammer. That's an esoteric Gallagher reference. A lot of people don't know that he does the melon. Yeah. All right. Today's phrase, if you could, just drop this into conversation. Ted Turner wants CNN to stop covering the pervert of the day. Does that include the guy in the White House who keeps perverting the Constitution, man? Wake up, sheeple. The most twisted perversion involves crapping on the Bill of Rights.
There you go.
Well, this has been a good time, Riley.
A lot of fun, a lot of fun. Great audience. Give yourselves a round.
So, Riley, what do you got going this weekend, man?
I don't know.
My
wife keeps my schedule. I don't know what I'm doing until I get home.
I'm going to be at Gotham Comedy Club. If you want to come see me ramble in a more intimate fashion without on the radio, that'd be good.
Yeah, more seats.
Did I really plug that? Well, hey, if you want, you know what? Don't bother. I'll be there tomorrow night and tonight if you want to come down. So, Mike, you want to play some music or something?
Yeah, Mike Doty.
Play some more songs.
Am I in a musical mode?
Yeah, why not? Even sing a whole one. Hey, Kayla, do you got one you want to hear? No, he'll play something else.
Move On. Can he do Move On? Can we play Move On?
I don't know if we played that this time.
Can we play Move On before? I don't know.
Mike Doty has been so kind. Can we keep it going for Mike Doty again?
Dang.
Damn, Dan is being a roadie.
Yeah,
this is perfect.
There you go.
It's all working out.
That Cuban girl brought me low. She had that skin so fine, her resonance rose like now. Her mouth was wide, sweet as well. Now and then let's out dreaming up.
Thank all you for coming down. I really appreciate you coming down. Morning Sedition, Air America Radio.
All right.
Grand City Bakery. It's been a tremendous turnout.
Grand City Bakery.
Next week we'll be at the Strand Bookstore.